Grandma,
read us a story.
You want a story?
Yes.
You want a story, Kelly? Okay, listen. Grandma will probably read you a story, okay? I'm sure she will. But why don't you get the other kids outside, okay? Go outside and see if they want to come inside, and Grandma will read a story, okay? All right, go get them.
Right, left, right.
Okay, kids, come on. Get in here, hurry. Hustle. We're going to get Grandma to tell us a story. Grandma!
Yes?
The kids want you to come in here and tell a story. You got time?
How about reading a story, not just telling a story?
Read a story, that sounds good.
All right. If everybody's kind of quiet, gather around, and I'll read a story.
Fantastic. Here we go.
Hi, boys and girls. Yesterday we was reading about Paul and that he went to the temple and he was glad to be back there again because he'd been gone for so long. And he wished that all of these people would accept Jesus. And it was sad to think that 25 years after the Holy Spirit had come on the disciples in this very same city, so many people still refused to listen. Suddenly he was recognized by some Jews who had opposed his work in the cities of Asia Minor. At once there was trouble. There's always trouble when you get the Jews in with Christianity. Men of Israel, help, they cried. This is the man who is teaching men everywhere against the people and the law of this place. He has also brought Greeks into the temple. He has defiled this holy place. The charge wasn't true, but it was enough to start a riot. The Jews are good at starting riots, just like a lot of your minorities. If something goes wrong with the white race, they take it to a court of law. But if minorities have problems, what happens? They start a riot. They start burning buildings. They take their problems altogether different. Paul was seized and dragged out of the temple court, and the gates were shut. Outside, more and more people came together, all shouting abuse at him and trying to strike him. No doubt Paul would have been killed there and then, but for the fact that a company of Roman soldiers suddenly appeared on the scene and subdued the anger of the mob. What's going on here? Asked the captain. Why are you beating this man? Some shouted one thing, another, and the captain, thinking Paul must be some terrible criminal, ordered that he be bound with chains and taken to the barracks. On the way, Paul spoke to the captain and tried to clear things up. Aren't you the leader of a band of assassins? Asked the captain. No, indeed, Paul assured him. I'm a Judean from Tarsus in Sicily, a citizen of no mean city. I beg of you, let me speak to the people. Impressed by Paul's cultured speech and manner, the captain agreed. So standing on the stairs leading up to the barracks, Paul motioned with his hand to the people. Astonished at the turn of events, they became quiet, wondering what this prisoner would have to say. Brethren and fathers, he cried in the language of the people, hear the defense which I now make before you. Then he went on to tell his life story from his birth to his conversion on the Damascus Road. All went well. Until he said that the Lord had told him to go and preach. When the Jews heard him preach, they became very angry. This was too much for his listeners. Away with such a fellow from the earth, they yelled, waving their garments and throwing dust in the air. So great was the din that Paul's voice was completely drowned. Fearing worse trouble, the captain moved his men up the steps and into the barracks, and he gave orders that Paul should be flogged. Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman citizen and uncondemned? Paul asked the centurion who was about to beat him. Going to the captain, the centurion said, you'd better be careful, sir. This man is a Roman citizen. Worried, the captain went to Paul. Are you a Roman? Yes, said Paul. At this, they were silent, and the next day set him free. Next day, the captain ordered the chief priests and their council to meet and listen to Paul's defense. They agreed, and Paul was taken to the meeting, which proved to be a very stormy one. Scarcely had the apostle begun to speak when a great clamor arose. Some took his part and others opposed him. The room was filled with angry shouts. Finally, the captain, afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down, take him by force from among them and bring them into the barracks. Jesus knew he had done his best. The next night, the Lord stood by him and said, take courage, for as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also at Rome. This cheered his heart, for he'd always wanted to see Rome, and now he knew that his life would be spared until this dream came true. Short time later, a boy knocked on the door of the barracks and asked permission to see Paul. He's my uncle, and I have a message for him. The boy proved to be Paul's sister's son, his own nephew. What news do you bring me? Asked Paul. Excitedly, the boy told his story. He had learned of a plot that had been laid to take his uncle's life. About 40 men had sworn not to eat or drink until they had killed him. They had asked the chief priests to ask the captain to bring Paul to the council again. They planned to murder him on the way. Very interesting, I could hear Paul saying. Thank you. Would you please tell this to the captain? Certainly, said the boy, anxious to save his uncle's life. This he did, and the captain believed him. After telling the boy to keep his secret well, he ordered two of his centurions to get ready, 200 soldiers with 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen, to take Paul to Caesarea and deliver him to Governor Felix. That was quite a lot of men to look after one Christian preacher. But the captain was determined that no harm should come to him while he was in his charge. After dark that night, the soldiers set off on their journey. As they clattered out of the gates of Jerusalem, nobody dreamed that the cloaked figure on horseback in the middle was the Apostle Paul. Nobody, that is, except Paul's nephew. I think he must have guessed, and I am sure he chuckled at the thought of those 40 men who had sworn to kill Paul. If they kept their oath, they would go hungry for a long, long time. But you know what? I doubt that they kept their oath. Jesus told his disciples that they would be brought before governors and kings for his sake. And this certainly came true in the life of the Apostle Paul. Shortly after arriving in Caesarea, he was brought before Governor Felix. Felix knew a great deal about the Christian faith, and he and his wife Drusilla had many talks with him. Once, as Paul spoke about justice and self-control and future judgment, Felix became alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I have an opportunity, I will call you." At that moment, Felix was very close to accepting Jesus as his Savior, but he put off his decision to a more convenient season, which never came. How near he was to the kingdom, how sad that he drew back. So near and yet so far, which is a witness to us that we should accept Jesus when we feel in our heart that we are being led to, because we don't know what could happen. Tomorrow may never happen. After 2 years, Felix was transferred to another post. Desiring to do the Jews a favor, left Paul in prison. Festus, the new governor, ordered Paul to be brought before him so that he might find out for himself why this man had been kept in prison so long. He, too, treated Paul kindly, asking him whether he would like to go to Jerusalem for his trial. Paul said, "No, I'm standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you know very well. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death, but if there is nothing in their charges against me, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar." Festus turned to his counselors and asked for their advice. Then he said to Paul, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go." Before Paul could be sent to Rome, however, King Agrippa and his wife Bernice arrived in Caesarea. Festus told them about the famous prisoner he had on his hands, and the king said he would like to see him. So a meeting was arranged. When Paul was brought in, King Agrippa told him to go ahead and tell all that was on his heart. Paul was delighted to have the chance to do so. Once again, he told the story of his life, how Jesus had spoken to him on the Damascus Road. Then he related how, in obedience to this holy vision, he had gone everywhere declaring that men should repent, turn to God, and perform deeds worthy of their repentance. As he exclaimed how Christ had fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah, he became more and more earnest, so much so that Festus suddenly called to him in a loud voice, "Paul, you are mad. Your great learning is turning you mad." "I am not mad, most excellent Festus," he said, "but I am speaking the sober truth." Then turning to the king, he asked, "Do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." "You almost persuade me to be a Christian," said the king. "Would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day, might become such as I, except for these chains," said Paul. At this, the meeting broke up. King Agrippa saying to Festus, "This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." That was a great moment in the king's life. He was almost persuaded, but not quite. Like Felix, he put off deciding for Christ till another time, and put it off too long. Like Felix, he almost stepped into heaven, only to lose it forever. He missed it by inches, as one might say. Let us be careful, lest we do the same. As there was no ship sailing direct from Castoria to Rome, Paul was with some other prisoners, was put on a vessel bound for ports along the coast of Asia. When this ship had gone as far as Myra, all the prisoners were transferred to another ship going to Italy. What a voyage that was! Trouble began soon after they left port. The winds being unfavorable, the ship traveled slowly, losing valuable days. By the time it reached Crete, winter was coming on, so Paul advised the centurion to anchor there and wait for better weather. But the centurion paid more attention to the captain than to what Paul said, which was natural, and it was decided to sail on. The captain was soon sorry he had done so, for a gale sprang up and he could do nothing but let the ship run before it. Next day the storm became worse, and the captain decided to lighten the ship by throwing much of the cargo overboard. The day after that, the tackle was thrown over too. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many a day, all hope of being saved faded away. By this time, most of the prisoners and crew were worn out with hunger, weariness, seasickness, and fear. Many were lying in the filthy hold, helpless, hopeless, and terrified. Then it was that Paul stood among them, his face alight with courage and hope. As the ship rolled and tossed about in the seas, he somehow managed to keep his footing as he said, "Men, you should have listened to me, should not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. I now bid you take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood by me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship, and he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and lo, God has granted you all those who sail with you.' So God had heard Paul's prayers for his fellow prisoners and for the crew, for the captain and the centurion. Best of all, God had sent him a personal message of comfort, and the angel bearing it had found his way through the fearsome tempest right into the hull of that storm-tossed vessel. How carefully God watches over his faithful children. No wonder Paul's heart was full of courage. No wonder he could say to those poor, miserable soldiers and sailors, 'Take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have told.' And it did turn out exactly as he said. A few days later, the ship ran aground on the island of Malta and was broken to pieces by the heavy seas. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners, lest some escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their purpose. He ordered those who could swim to throw themselves overboard first and make for the land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all escaped to land. There were 276 people on that ship, and everyone was saved, just as Paul had promised. Right after landing, as Paul was sitting by a fire trying to dry his clothes, a snake struck at him and fastened itself upon his hand. Those who saw this happen expected him to fall dead at once, but instead he calmly shook off the creature and suffered no harm. The natives were so astonished at this that they felt sure he must be some god, but he told them, 'No, he was only a servant of the God of heaven.' Then he went on to prove it by kind words and deeds. After he had healed the father of the chief man of the island, the rest of the people who had diseases came and were cured. Heaven never drew so close to Malta as it did just then. When the time came for Paul to leave, everybody was sad to see him go. After 3 months on the island, the party set sail once more and finally reached Rome. Here, to Paul's surprise, a few Christians came out to meet him, for which he thanked God and took courage. Then, though bound with a chain, he invited the local Judeans to visit him. They came in great numbers to his lodging, and he preached to them about Jesus. What a man! The Bible says that for 2 years he preached and talked like this, openly and unhindered. So he waited to see Caesar and for the martyr's death that lay ahead." That's it for today. I love you. Be good. Be a good witness to Jesus. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is KKK Radio.
There's excitement in the air. People are catching on. The times are changing, and there will be a new and brighter day for our people. Listen to Billy Roper each week with Radio New America, right here on KKKRadio.com.